You may have heard me mention before that I was a three-sport athlete in high school. In 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades, I played soccer in the fall, basketball in the winter, and softball in the spring. I enjoyed all of these sports, but soccer was by far my favorite. In fact, I decided that I wanted to try and play soccer in college. I was actually pretty good in high school. In fact, I was named the MVP of my soccer team when I was a senior in high school, and I was selected to be an all-star, district all-star. And even though I was heading to a Division I school, which, as you probably know, is the most competitive level of collegiate sports, the school that I was planning to attend was an Ivy League school, which meant that there might just be a chance that I could play because, as you probably also know, Ivy League schools do not award any athletic scholarships. They're Division I, but no athletic scholarships, hence their lack of stellar performance typically in sports, collegiate sports. So early in the fall of my freshman year, I tried out for the Cornell women's soccer team. Those 3 days were not only among the most strenuous and then a few days later painful days of my life, they were, without a doubt, the most humiliating 3 days of my life. Needless to say, I did not play soccer for Cornell. I did, however, play lacrosse. I can tell you the story of how that happened sometime later. But for now, I'll just say that I played on the Cornell JV women's lacrosse team for 2 years. I remember our first game pretty vividly. I remember being on the field and beginning to warm up and saying to one of my teammates, "Can you remind me what the rules of lacrosse are?" I had not ever played lacrosse before getting to Cornell. I also remember being very aware of the uniform, of what I was wearing as a member of the lacrosse team. Sort of like the old field hockey uniforms, it was a plaid skirt and a red long-sleeved jersey with white stripes on the sleeves and a big white C on the front. And I remember being struck by something close to a feeling of awe, thinking, I am representing Cornell University. Me. How cool is that? And it really felt pretty awesome almost to be wearing that uniform. So I found myself thinking about all of that as I considered this week's gospel passage. I'm going to read it again because it's so short. Jesus had been talking with his disciples for a couple of chapters, this whole chapter in Matthew, in preparation for sending them out into the world as his disciples. And so in the section highlighted today, he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." In those three verses, I actually see more than one parallel to my experience on the Cornell lacrosse team. Lucky for you, I'm only going to focus on one of those this morning. And that is the idea of representing. Each time I stepped onto the field as a member of the Cornell JV women's lacrosse team, by the way, no one was cut from that team the year I tried out, I was representing not only the team, but I was representing Cornell. The whole team, in fact, of course, was representing the whole of Cornell. And not just by virtue of our uniforms, but in how we played, and how we treated each other and the opposing team, and how we interacted with the refs. In whatever ways we showed up on the field, we were representing Cornell. In those situations, to some degree, for good or for bad, The people who saw us, who were around us, for them, we were Cornell University. It seems to me that that's part of what Jesus is saying to his disciples in today's passage. It seems like he's saying, I'm sending you into the world in my name as my representatives. When you're out there as my disciples, you'll be representing me. When people look at you, they'll be seeing me. When people listen to you, they'll be hearing me. When they interact with you, they'll be interacting with me. And in those moments, to some degree, for good or for bad, for those people, you will be showing them me. And when they welcome you, they will be welcoming me. As we are all, of course, aware, we too are Jesus' disciples. And I wonder, do we think about that idea of representation as we walk around in the world? Do we think very much or very often in our daily lives that we have been sent out into the world by Jesus to represent Jesus? How often do we think about, for example, the idea that when we say to someone, we go to church, or when we talk about church, we are not only representing this church, but that then when people who have heard us say that or who know that about us look at us, they're seeing Jesus. When they listen to us, they're hearing Jesus. When they interact with us, in some ways, they're interacting with Jesus. How often is it in our awareness that in those moments, to some degree, for good or for bad, for those people, we're showing them Jesus, and we're inviting them through us to consider welcoming Jesus into their lives? Jesus said, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. While you consider that, I want to lift up the fact that then Jesus went even further. He goes on to tell his disciples that the people who welcome them will not even just be welcoming him, but will in fact be welcoming God. He's saying to them, I'm sending you out in my name, but not just in my name. You're going in God's name, God, the creator of all that is, God, the Holy One of Israel, God who was and is to come. Yes, I'm sending you, but God is the one who sent me. So yes, you're going out representing me, but I'm here representing God. And so people having seen me, when they look at you, will actually have seen the image of God. Having heard me, when they listen to you, they will have actually heard the voice of God. Having interacted with me, when they've interacted with you, they will actually have been in the presence of God. And so when they welcome you, yes, they will also be welcoming me, and they will be welcoming into themselves the very spirit and essence of God. So as Christians, as followers of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, as people of God, we are walking around in the world, not just representing Jesus as if that weren't enough, but we're representing God. And maybe you would agree that we're walking around not only with varying degrees of awareness of that fact, the fact that we, each of us as individuals and we as a community, are representing Jesus and God to the world around us, but that we're doing that with wildly fluctuating interpretations and accuracy in our representations. I don't know about you, but for me, as I consider this reality, certain occasions come to mind when people who claim to be Christian have spoken words, exhibited behaviors, and otherwise shown up in the world in ways that do not seem to accurately represent who Jesus is, at least as I represent, as I understand Jesus. And as I consider those experiences, I often feel anger. And I often also feel a certain degree of judginess. And then other occasions come to mind when I, who also claim to be a Christian, and not just a Christian, but a pastor, have spoken words and exhibited behaviors and otherwise shown up in the world in ways that do not accurately represent who Jesus is, as I understand Jesus. And guilt and shame rise up within me, as well as some compassion for those other Christians. And I try to pray for forgiveness and mercy for both them and myself. As Christians, as followers of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, as people of God, for better or for worse, whether we're aware of it or not, whether we're doing it accurately or not, we represent God to the world around us. As we have experienced and known God, as we have seen and understood God, as we have experienced God as made manifest in Christ. Most of us don't very often wear a uniform, although I on occasion do. But even without that, I wonder if we can even just slightly increase our awareness of who and what we are in the world representing. None of us is 100% aware 100% of the time that when people look at us, they are seeing Jesus. That in our words and in our actions and in how we show up in the world, we're showing them God. There is absolutely room for growth in all of us in this area. And so I wonder, are we wanting to grow in that awareness? And if we're wanting to grow, are we willing to grow in that awareness? I wonder if we can step a little more deliberately into that awareness, even just a little. I wonder if we can step a little more deeply into that identity, summoning courage and patience and humility, giving ourselves and each other grace, acknowledging that we are, yes, human and mistake prone, and trusting in all of that, that we are loved and forgiven. And I wonder if we can do that with the hope that at least sometimes the way we show up in the world, the way we speak, the way we act, the way we interact with the people around us, and what all of that says about who we understand Jesus to be and God to be, the hope that all of that, or some of that, will lead people to want to welcome us into their lives. Because in welcoming us, they will be welcoming Jesus. And as they welcome Jesus, maybe they'll see a little more of God's image. They'll hear a little more of God's voice. And maybe they'll find themselves a little more in the presence of God. And then as even a few people find themselves a little more in God's presence, then God's kingdom just might become a little more visible here and now on earth as it is in heaven. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, Jesus said, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. May Jesus and God be more and more welcomed, first within us and then among us, so that they might be more welcomed in the world around us. May God help us. Amen.